Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. We're so glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside.
This is the Andrew Lawton Show. Live on AM 980. Now, here's your host, Andrew Lawton.
Good afternoon, London. This is Canada's most irreverent talk show. You are listening to The Andrew Lawton Show on AM 980. It is so good to be here this afternoon on this frigidly cold Friday. Monday, actually. Look, I'm back for a day, and I'm already thinking it's the end of the week. It's going to be a great show up ahead this afternoon. I'm going to be chatting in about an hour about a bit of an ethical dilemma that I think has come from the Supreme Court decision to allow assisted suicide, and that is whether or not doctors should have the right to opt out of offering such a treatment, if you can even call it that. We'll be talking about that in about an hour on the program. We're going to be talking about counselors' expenses. We're going to be talking about immigration and a case in Whitehorse where a couple actually has to make what would to most parents be the impossible decision. Do I leave my child in Canada where he can get good medical treatment, or do I leave him and leave with him? This is a very real dilemma for a couple in Whitehorse that are facing deportation. But I wanted to begin the program by talking about the new sex ed curriculum that was unveiled this morning by the provincial government. It is a curriculum that I feel has two sides to it here. Number one is the actual text of the curriculum. The other side of it, the other component to it, is the lore and legend surrounding the curriculum. Because you may remember that this curriculum, and we know this now having seen it, was modeled after one that was previously yanked by the government. The curriculum that was put in 2010 for sexual education, that curriculum was in part guided by, and it received contributions from, the former Deputy Minister of Education, Ben Levin. Now, Ben Levin is currently on trial for child pornography and counseling sexual assault. He was in office at the time the old one was drafted. Now, that does not mean, be based on that connection, that nothing in the curriculum can ever be done. But it means that we need to approach it with a great level of caution as we look at who was in charge of that operation and, in many cases, in charge of parts of that project. So it is relevant, but it's not necessarily a smoking gun. Now, we look at this broader curriculum, and what we have here is many things that are not changing, but many that are. They've rearranged the way they've addressed these things, or they've perhaps added on little qualities to the curriculum like sexting and cyberbullying, etc. And you have other parts that haven't really changed, but maybe they've changed the grade at which these things will be taught. The rundown is as follows. The names of body parts are taught in grade 1. In grade 3, students are taught about healthy relationships, sexual orientation, and gender identity. In grade 6, they're taught about, quote, gender expression, unquote, as well as masturbation. And in grade 7, they're taught a lot more. You see things like anal sex, oral sex, STIs, sexting, preventing pregnancy, and that also does include abstinence. Then in grade 8, you have more on gender identity and sexual orientation. And in grade 9, you have a more in-depth look at preventing pregnancy, STIs, gender identity, sexual orientation, etc. Now, I want to make one thing very clear here. I have not had time to read the whole curriculum. I haven't. I've been working through it and looking at key experts, so I'm relying on rundowns of this. What I object to more than the actual curriculum itself is the process by which it was introduced. Very little oversight, very little transparency. Not much in the way of consultation with parents, it seems. And this is a problem that has been heard by one MPP, Lambton Kent Middlesex MPP, Monty McNaughton, who joins me now. Monty, it's great to have you back on the program, sir. Welcome.
Thanks, Andrew.
So you've obviously been on top of this issue since it was announced quite a while ago that there was going to be a reintroduced sex ed curriculum. And is it as bad as I think a lot of people were fearing now that we know it's been tabled?
Well, you know, I've taken the position on this that the government should have been sitting down with parents to come up with a new sex ed curriculum here in Ontario. The education minister was quite clear today. I was at the press conference. She said that this is the 2010 curriculum with some more additions. So I think that the real consultative process begins today, regardless of what Kathleen Wynne and Liz Sandals is saying.
And when we look at the process, what could have been done differently in your eyes, or what should have been done differently in your eyes?
Well, back in 2010, when Kathleen Wynne was the education minister, they came out with a very controversial curriculum, which is similar to the one we're seeing today. And they promised back then, after Dalton McGuinty canceled it within 3 days, that they would sit down with parents and have meaningful consultation. We found out via press release 2 days after we all elected school board trustees across the province that Kathleen Wynne was going to bring in a new sex ed curriculum in September. And I think, you know, I shudder when I hear the Minister of Education saying that she consulted with the education industry and the experts, but not once did she mention talking to parents across Ontario. And I think that's wrong on so many fronts. I've been on record saying that parents should be first educators on serious issues like this, and the state should respect parents.
Well, and this is a very realistic challenge here, I think, is that you have the area of sexuality and a lot of the associated topics here that, A, are subject to different belief systems, different values, different moral codes. So obviously there's that that needs to be taken into consideration here. But beyond that, I think there's something to be said about a parent knowing the maturity level of their child better than the state does, better than this curriculum does. And I think in many ways, you know, what may be suitable for one student in grade one might not be suitable for another student until grade three. And this doesn't seem to address that.
Exactly. And that's why for months and months and months I've been saying that it's not Kathleen Wynne's job or any politician to tell parents across Ontario what is age appropriate for their child. That's up to the moms and dads out there. I come to this issue first and foremost as a father myself as well, with the belief that parents should be first educators on issues like this, and that it's not the government or state's job to tell me as a father or my wife or any parent out there what's age appropriate for their child.
If the government changes to a PC government, the party that you represent in the coming years, would you support a repeal of this in really a do-over in terms of moving towards what you're saying would have been better in the first place?
Absolutely. I've said clearly that I'm, first of all, running for the leadership of the Ontario PC Party to stop Kathleen Wynne's sex ed agenda, and also that when I develop as Premier any updates to the sex ed curriculum, parents are going to be around the table. I'm not going to say, like Liz Sandals said today, that we're consulting the industry experts. It's about consulting the real people and the people that should be at the forefront of our education system, and that's parents.
Is there a concern at all? I've seen some comments online, but I've never seen any sort of mass, you know, promise or vow of this, but that parents will take their kids out of the public system over this. And I don't want to fearmonger over this, but I've seen a lot of parents that genuinely have a sense of true discomfort and I'd say distrust in public education over this and how it's really manifested over the past months.
Well, that's true. I've talked to thousands of parents across the province. Thousands from my own riding have actually contacted our constituency office, and they're concerned about what's in this curriculum. And I think there's a lot of options on the table. I think a lot of parents are thinking about pulling their kids out in September or October. I just hope that all your listeners and the parents out there find this curriculum on the Ministry of Education's website and takes a look at what's in store for their kids in September and look at this curriculum themselves and decide. And like the government said today that there's going to be no more a consultation. It's a done deal. But my message to Kathleen Wynn was clear that the consultative process begins today, and I'll bring the concerns of parents to Queen's Park.
I'm certainly glad you will. Monty McNaughton, MPP for Lambton-Kent Middlesex. Appreciate your time as always, sir, this afternoon. Thank you.
Thanks, Andrew.
All right, we've got to take a quick break here. When we come back, going to take your calls on this and talk about this a little bit more. Let's talk. I've missed that bell. 519-643-2222 or 1-866-354-8255. This is the Andrew Lawton Show on AM 980. Stay with us.
He's lonely, so give him a call. 519-643-2222 or toll free 1-866-354-8255. The Andrew Lawton Show on AM 980.
We are back on the program talking about the government's new sex ed curriculum in Ontario. It will be in the schools by September. And what I find most concerning about this, and Monty McNaughton, whom we just had on the program, said this very clearly, is that, well, there was a consultation process that included schools and allowed people to submit their suggestions, but didn't actively consult on the curriculum by the provincial government. What we also saw was a unilateral announcement that this is the curriculum, this is how it's going to go. And the consultations are closed. So even though you can read the curriculum now, for March, April, May, June, July, August, parents have no say. No say in this. It's a done deal. Here you go. And the fact is, when you look at what's being taught, you're teaching kids about sexual orientation, and you're teaching kids about STDs, and you're teaching kids about oral and anal sex, and you're teaching kids about all of these other topics that could make a lot of people squeamish to have to talk about. And as much as I may agree in principle with what it would be trying to accomplish, I don't think an abstinence-only education program is effective in the public system. I just don't think it would work. But I do agree that parents are first and foremost the first line of defense when it comes to education, especially when it comes to understanding your children and their maturity levels. And even if we accept that everything that this sex ed curriculum is going to teach is valid and necessary, everything from the names of body parts in grade one to gender expression and identity and sexual orientation and STIs in grade nine, let's say that everything in that 8-year span is necessary. How can the government determine at what year every child is ready for it? At what year every child would understand it? That is where the government is so far out of bounds on this matter, and so many others. And I mentioned it before, it's not, I don't think, a smoking gun, but it is relevant that this is basically a rehashing of the curriculum that was yanked in 2010, a curriculum that was in part aided and consulted on by the former Deputy Minister of Education. Ben Levin, who is now on trial, has accepted a plea deal, based on media reports, for child pornography and counseling sexual assault. And when now it's the same curriculum just 5 years later, someone needs to ask, okay, well wait, how much has been done to ensure that his perversions, allegedly, did not play into the broader discussions in the curriculum? I don't claim to have the answer, but it's a question that needs to be asked. Let's talk. 519-643-2222 519-643-2222 or 1-866-354-8255. Richard, go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, Andrew. You know, as for 2010, that curriculum, I'm in no position to comment on it because I wasn't even in this province. But having said that, there are many parts of this, Andrew, right, that I do like. But the one part, right, I don't like is teaching grade threes, right, teaching them about same-sex marriage and homosexuality. If you want to teach them about pedophilia, I don't have an issue with that, right? They have to be able to protect themselves, right, from pedophiles. But they don't need to be learning about homosexuality and same-sex marriages. You have a good day, Andrew.
Thanks, Richard. I think certainly when it comes to teaching kids about pedophilia, that needs to happen at a very young age, not in explicit graphic terms, but certainly in terms that allow kids to protect themselves or be aware or know when to talk to an adult. As far as homosexuality goes, I don't think it's unreasonable that the system will teach that. My concern is whether or not it's relevant at grade three. Whether or not sexual orientation is something that needs to be taught at grade three. And I don't know the answer. I don't know the answer to it, but I think that this speaks to the whole problem that is actually at stake here, which is that this is something that's been done from a top-down approach with very little in the way of consultation. And even though parents and teachers and principals were invited, ultimately, this has been a curriculum drafted by professionals in the industry, not drafted by or consulted on by the people to whom it matters the most. Anne, go ahead.
Oh, hi, Andrew, sorry, I really missed your show. I'm glad to hear you back. And I'm glad Monty McNaughton is fighting this. This entire curriculum is a problem and has been a concern, especially because of Ben Levin. It seems to be a reformat, basically, of what they had before. The man is going to plead on all these charges for being a pedophile. And if the people freaking out at you and Monty McNaughton and anyone else do not understand why people are concerned that this disgusting pig of a man was involved in this education platform, then God help us all, because we need to pay attention to what's going on here with this whole thing. And the nefariousness of some of the things in this curriculum is very, very wrong. One of the things being Kathleen Wynne wants to teach six-year-olds about facial expressions being a sign of safety. That's not a sign of safety, Andrew, and it's totally contrary to what we should be teaching kids for actual sex abuse prevention. Teaching children about consent and all of this liberal artsy-fartsy garbage is only going to confuse these little ones and make them more susceptible to pedophiles. And I have a message for those that are bashing you about homophobia and all the rest of it. Guess what, people? Pedophiles come from all walks of life, and that also needs to be included in that curriculum. And that includes the LGBT. It includes everybody. It includes both genders. It includes people that are religious and non-religious. We have to have proper education and not just cater to, oh, one group is superior, and if we question anything, we're all homophobic, we're bigots, we're
hated. Yeah, but I appreciate your call in. I don't even think it comes down to that. I don't think there is enough of an emphasis in the school system or in the sex ed curriculum on pedophilia. No sexual orientation. Pedophilia is not a sexual orientation, nor is it a part of a sexual orientation. No, it's something that kids need to be aware of. I know it exists in this curriculum. I don't think it is given the place I think it deserves, which is one of a great deal of prominence. But I do think that there needs to be more parental oversight in this. And that's, above all else, the biggest recommendation I would have on this and the biggest expectation I would have. Chris, go ahead.
Hello, Andrew. I don't believe that parents are I include myself as a parent, to be the front line. Parents are too squeamish. They will not talk about it. It has to be talked about by professionals. I think this curriculum that's being put forward is quite appropriate. It's a good thing that it's being brought up, because we do not realize the conversations that are going on in the schoolyard. Way back from when I was in school, the conversations that are going on in the schoolyard and the conversations that are happening at home with parents are two different conversations.
No, you're right. There are a lot of parents that I think are either willfully in denial or simply out of ignorance in denial about it.
And this was brought up in 2010. parents are well aware that this was coming down the tubes. Parents were offered the chance to put their comments in. If they chose not to put their comments in, that's entirely up to them. If it should have been important enough for them to express themselves then, not now. I think it's important that the body parts, proper body parts, are being recognized and taught. I think it's important that homosexuality is being taught, not promoted, I'll underline that, but being taught, that these things are occurring. And if we close our eyes and bury our heads in the sand, we're missing the point. These kids are talking about this, and then when you get into pubescent children, especially boys, they are very experimental. They will try anything. If it feels good, they'll try it again. And they're talking about it in the schoolyard, and they always have been. And it's about time it's being taught in schools, and it may make people uncomfortable to talk about it, but it's got to be talked about. As far as that gentleman that's being up on charges for sexual predation.
Yeah, Ben Levin, yeah.
Yeah. That has nothing to do with the curriculum.
Well, no, it doesn't. I appreciate your call, Chris. I don't think it has anything to do with what's in the curriculum, but I think it has a lot to do with the process. And I want to get to some more calls here, but that was why I think that is certainly a relevant asset to the discussion. Louise, go ahead.
Hello, Andrew. Yes, I just wanted to say that I think this curriculum is not respecting the individuality of children. As you say, they are not all the same at a certain age. Or in a certain grade. They're just not all the same, are they?
No, and that's the case. And you can't have a state on this paper curriculum that is deciding when each and every child is going to be ready for these discussions. I agree with that very much, Louise. Appreciate your call. We got to take a quick break here. When we come back, more of The Andrew Lawton Show on AM 980. Going to take some more calls on this moving forward. 519-643-2222. If you're on hold, we'll get to you after the news. Stay with us.
He talks, you listen, and then maybe you can talk. Call now, 519-643-2222, or toll free 1-866-354-8255. This is The Andrew Lawton Show on AM 980.
Canada's most irreverent talk show here, The Andrew Lawton Show on AM 980. Talking about the new sex ed curriculum unveiled this morning. And it's a bit concerning, less so what's in it, although there are certainly questions to be raised about that, and more about how it was done, how it was introduced. Shrouded in secrecy for months, they've put in some concerning things, if not the lessons themselves, but the timing of them in a child's life when they are instructed about it. And one of the newer inclusions to the sex ed curriculum this time was a comprehensive look at consent. That's one of the qualities that's new to the curriculum compared to the one that's on the books. So what do you think? Let's talk. 519-643-2222 or 1-866-354-8255. Mary Lou, go ahead.
Hey, Andrew. Hi. I'm confused about this because Is it in fact the same one that they introduced in 2010?
Well, it's not the exact same, but much of it is. So they've changed a couple of things. I think they changed around the sexting part of it. But much of it was what was there in 2010 when it came to sexual orientation and gender identity, gender expression, et cetera.
Right. So that was soundly rejected by parents at the time. So they bring it back. And I do think it's significant, Ben Levin's involvement in it. I'm sorry, it's hard not to think that's significant. But one of the things I haven't heard people talk much about is one of the things that's in it, which is the idea of affirmative consent. Have you heard much about that?
This is an ongoing thing. We see this dominating discussions at university campuses, and now they're introducing it in grade one.
Which, by the way, exactly. I mean, the whole notion of teaching eight-year-olds how to how to give consent or understand how they're giving consent, read facial gestures and all these things. on the face of it, it's absurd. We're talking about 8-year-olds here. There's actually a really funny Saturday Night Live clip, which was done back in the 90s, making fun of the whole idea of affirmative consent. So the whole concept is absurd, and especially introducing it to children.
Well, and this is the thing, is that we're looking at introducing the notion of affirmative consent to kids who don't even understand what it is to which they're consenting yet.
Exactly. And I'm very concerned that it's all becoming way too subjective instead of objective. When I was, a child, I know it's a long time ago, but everything was pretty much objective in sex ed class, and I don't know what the problem is with that. That's what it should be. It should be sort of a very objective understanding for children of that age.
Yeah, stick to the biology, stick to the facts, and let parents deal with the more contentious issues. That's
right.
Fair. Appreciate the call very much, Mary Lou. Thank you. Ross, go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. I'm wondering about how this new model is going to be delivered, and the capacity and the capability of
by Stork, I don't think.
Well, no, but in terms of how effective your JK or SK teacher, male or female, or your intermediate grade 7 teacher, male or female, how comfortable and how capable they're going to be in terms of delivering this this curriculum. And I'm also concerned as to how prepared parents are going to be feeling when their sons or daughters come home with the question of what did you learn in school today?
Or even worse, if one of them has a question that wasn't addressed in school that they want their parents to answer, and a parent feels blindsided by, oh, I didn't even know you knew that.
Indeed, sir. And so that presents a series of problems which I don't think we're going to be able to avoid. But I wonder just how the government of the day and the very